You're listening to the Isaka Podcast. In this Knowledge Series podcast, we're speaking with Adam Shostak, security consultant, entrepreneur, technologist, game designer, and author of the Perspectives article, Reasonable Software Security Engineering. In this podcast, we discuss threat modeling and how to leverage it. So to begin, Adam, what is software security engineering? What is threat modeling? And how are those things related?
Software security engineering is about helping engineers bring software security to what it is you're developing, what it is you're deploying, what it is you're building, what it is you're shipping. And engineers care about security in the same way they care about reliability, they care about scalability. They want to build a great product. They know security is part of that. And we, in the security side of things, need to help them engineer, need to help them make these trade-offs in what they're building, how they're building it, so that they can deliver the product, the service to your customer. And so threat modeling is a set of techniques that helps you think through what security problems is this thing going to have, could this thing have, and what do we do about it? And so let me make that a little bit concrete. When I talk about threat modeling, I ask four key questions. The first question is, what are we working on? The second question is, what can go wrong? The third is, what are we going to do about it? And the fourth is, did we do a good job? And there are lots of ways to answer each of those questions. There's lots of ways to integrate this into the way in which you build software. But those four questions help you help your engineers build software that is more secure.
How does security as a property differ from security as a feature?
Security as a property are the things that you put on the outside of the box. It's connects securely via HTTPS or blocks login attempts after 5 failed attempts or has multi-factor authentication, right? They're the things that you build to deliver security. The properties are, we're using high test steel for this. We thought about the security risks as we were building it. And so the software doesn't have flaws. It doesn't have security critical bugs. The security properties are what keep you off the front page.
What departments should be in charge of meeting enterprise software security needs? Is this something the security group should do, or is it something that's better left to developers or product managers?
The people who are developing the software have to develop the software with security in mind. You might have support for them in the form of a central security group, and a lot of large companies do. They'll have a security expert or security expertise that can help out, but it's got to be the people who are developing the software. And so if that's software engineers, if it's hardware engineer, or people developing the product, excuse me, it's hardware engineers. The project managers have to make time for it in the project schedule. They have to say, these are the ways we're going to evaluate. Have we done the right things? It is much less effective to have someone come in from the outside and say, oops, you made a mistake over there. You shouldn't ship tomorrow. You should fix that. Right? Nobody likes having that done to their schedule. No one likes having their work critiqued in that way. If you have a seat at the table, if you're engaged through the whole process because security is simply something you must do, you're much more likely to ship reliably, on time, with the security properties that you want your system to have.
How much of an investment are enterprises making in security? Has this investment changed over the past few years?
It is increasing. Historically, it was not very much. We're seeing some of the results of that. I think that with the profusion of news stories that are coming out, you know, when I started in software security, people said, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? The answers are on the front page of the news websites. The answers matter. And so organizations are starting to invest in securing their software more comprehensively. There are jobs for security architects, for software security specialists, for secure development lifecycle specialists. And I think we're going to see an increase in that as we give practical, actionable advice that's measurable. We did this. Here's what came out of that work. And so we're seeing more and more investments in the security of not only enterprise software, but also boxed software, web services, microservices, Internet of Things. We're seeing the security investments increasing across all of these categories as we engage with the difficult question of, don't tell me what I'm doing wrong, tell me what I need to be doing. Don't say don't do that, say do this. And sometimes that's really tricky. It's easier to be a critic than it is to be a collaborator. And so enterprises are investing more as we act as critics less.
How can security professionals gain C-suite support for threat modeling?
You've got to prove it. You've got to do some pilot tests. You've got to measure what you've done. You've got to prove that there's a return on investment. And you have to do this in a space where there's competition for the dollars that are going to be spent. You know, I worked at Microsoft for a long time. Microsoft has massive budgets, and Microsoft also has an incredible number of really smart people, each of whom have a perspective on how to make the product better, how to make it more enticing, how to make it more exciting. And so as security professionals, we are, in a sense, in competition with all of those other things for the engineering energy to develop them. And so when we go and say, I would like you to threat model, I have to be able to say, if I get threat modeling, static analysis, dynamic analysis, or a bug bounty, which one is best for the organization and why? And if I can't answer that question, then how do I get C-suite support? Right? I have to be ready to address the other uses of the organization's scarce resources to get the support that I want. And I think the way, you know, I've been doing this for a very long time. And the reason that I spent so much time on threat modeling is because I believe that without threat modeling, it's hard to know if you're doing the other things well. And to me, that's the reason to do threat modeling over other things, but it's not the reason to do threat modeling by itself. The reason that the C-suite cares is because you show them numbers, you show them results that say the software engineers, the developers working on this product, the network architects working on this system believe that threat modeling has helped them and that we should do more of it.
Which industries need better security engineering?
Anything that's life critical, that's safety critical, so medicine springs to mind, power springs to mind, all of the critical infrastructures that have been defined need to be thinking about this. Organizations handling private data need to be thinking about this. And the third group that I think needs to be thinking about better security engineering, frankly, is the open source world. open source underlies everything today. We need the open source world and to step up, and to an extent they are. We need them to continue to step up. We need them to accelerate their stepping up to say, this is the security engineering that we're doing for our product to make it safe in all of the ways it will be integrated into the broader world.
In what ways might GDPR affect the need for or value of threat modeling?
So, really, I don't know how you can possibly believe that you're compliant with GDPR if you don't understand the fullness of your system. If you don't answer the question, what are we working on here? If you don't know, if your engineers don't have a consistent answer, because if one of them isn't in the room when the lawyer asks that question and doesn't mention, oh yeah, I just integrated an advertising library into our mobile app, how can you think you're complying with these rules? So to me, threat modeling gives you a way to connect engineering to the goals of the GDPR and to be able to say, here's where our data is coming in, here's where it's going, here's how we're using it, and to make sure that your answers to this are grounded in the things that your engineers are really doing. If you have a GDPR specialist come in and talk to an engineering manager for a few hours and then go write the policies, they may or may not get all of the information they need. If threat modeling is at the core of your security engineering and that's integrated into your all-up engineering, your GDPR answers are going to be much more meaningful, much more accurate, and much less expensive to gather.
Why does security need to be comprehensive, structured, and systematic? And how does threat modeling help?
This is one of those questions that I find a little challenging because I want to say it's obvious, but then I realize it's not obvious. A great deal of security involves here we have this product that we believe helps us. We have this approach that we've been using, and threat modeling helps you move to a state where you're thinking through what the problems are before you make choices about controls. And so it helps you decide these are the places that need the most investment. It helps you make sure you're putting your investments in the places that it's going to be the most effective. And so it helps you, yeah, it really helps you focus on being more strategic with your security activity overall.
What else could threat modeling be used for?
Everything and anything that you're doing. When I deliver training in threat modeling, I start out by asking people to help me threat model my house. They get it. They understand. You know, they'll talk about doors and windows. They'll talk about family heirlooms. They bring a great deal of accumulated knowledge to what are we working on? Adam's house. What can go wrong? What are we going to do about it? I've applied threat modeling at two-person companies. I've applied threat modeling at some of the world's very largest companies. I've applied it on IoT, on web services, on microservices, on box software. I've done threat modeling around hardware. Recently, I had the opportunity to help a company that's working on self-driving cars. I've talked to cryptocurrency organizations. Let me invert the question and say, what can't you use threat modeling for? And there, I'm really unsure. You know, there are places where it's going to be more and less useful. But when you step back to the question of what are we working on, what can go wrong, what are we going to do about it,
what aspect of systems engineering, what aspect of product engineering doesn't benefit from those sorts of questions?
So if our listeners want to threat model their software, what should they do and how can they get started?
So the way I recommend to get started threat modeling is the elevation of privilege game. And I created this at Microsoft. It's a physical card game. You can download the cards and print them yourself. If you do a search, you can find copies for sale on the web. But the idea behind the game is you draw a quick picture of what you're doing on the whiteboard. So the cards have hints on them. So, for example, and I just opened a deck randomly, the Queen of Spoofing. An attacker could go after the way credentials are updated or recovered. Account recovery doesn't require disclosing the old password. So you would look at your system and say, hey, how do we update or recover access to an account in this system? And you would look for attacks involving account update and account recovery. And so walking through the deck allows you to walk through your system from a security perspective. It's designed to be easy to use. It's designed to be attractive because games teach us. Games put us in a state of mind where we can learn. And so that's why when people say, how do I get started threat modeling, I created a game to help them.
And are there any other resources on threat modeling that might be helpful?
So resources, the white paper, the Perspectives white paper that I did with you, obviously, is a good resource. I did write a book on the subject. I believe that's still a very valuable resource to help you get going. But the most important thing is start with the game, start with those four questions, because everything else is situationally dependent. We used to talk about threat modeling as if it was a single thing. The way to threat model is this. Today I talk about threat modeling like programming. There are lots of languages. There are lots of development environments. There are lots of styles. You can program, you can waterfall, you can do agile. You can deliver in different ways. You can deliver an app. You can deliver a website. All of that is software development. All of that is programming. In the same way, threat modeling is a broad collection of techniques. There are different ways to think about what are we working on. There are different ways to write down the answers. There are different ways, you know, during the Twitter chat, we talked a little bit about threat modeling for security. We talked about threat modeling for privacy. Within security, there are mnemonics like STRIDE. STRIDE stands for spoofing, tampering, repudiation, information disclosure, denial of service, and elevation of privilege. There's attack trees. There are pattern libraries. There's lots of ways to answer the question, what can go wrong? And so as you get started, focusing in on those four key questions, focusing in on the game, gives you a way to start. And then the book is a resource. There are interesting tools out there, but you have to think of this as a journey. It's a little bit like learning to drive a car. You go out, you start driving, it's a little bit overwhelming, right? How do I smoothly push on the accelerator? How do I smoothly push on the brake? How do I turn well? How do I keep track of everything that's going on around me? There's a lot going on, and you need to practice. You need to learn these things. And so you're going to get started threat modeling. Things are going to feel a little jerky. You're going to feel a little concerned. You need to keep practicing. You need to keep doing it. Most people don't want to learn to become a race car driver. They don't want to become a ambulance driver, a truck driver. Heck, most people don't even learn to drive with a stick shift anymore. and that's okay. The same thing with threat modeling. You need to learn a little bit of it. You need to bring it into your job. You're going to get better over time. You need to bring it into your organization. The people doing the work, your consistency will get better over time. As an organization, you need to think about what do we record out of these threat models? How do we evaluate them? How do we evaluate if someone should be promoted? Does becoming a senior software engineer require threat modeling skill at our company? Does becoming a manager require that you have shipped a product that involves a threat model? As you get started, you need to build through these various stages, and there's no single journey. There are many journeys, but step one is the game. The game is designed to bring you in, get you going in about an hour, and so that's why it's the way to get started. And then where you go from, there are many places to go from there.
Finally, is there anything else you'd like to add about threat modeling?
So I think just to sum up, the reason that I keep working in threat modeling is because it is the most effective way I have seen to bring security into the myriad of different organizations, shipping all sorts of different things that I've had the opportunity to be involved in. And threat modeling as a collection of techniques is simply the most useful security work I know of that I can be doing today. And so I encourage your listeners to get started.
Thanks, Adam. And that's all we have time for in this edition of the podcast. If you're interested in learning more about security engineering, download the free Isaka Perspectives article, Reasonable Software Security Engineering.